Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to 1 a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at zibbymedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Julia Alvarez is the author of The Cemetery of Untold Stories novel. And by the way, this is a Zibby's book club pick. So be sure to join Zibby's book club. You can do so by clicking on Zibby Media for the book club section under gatherings, or just go right to bookclubs.com and search Zibby's book club and join right there on bookclubs.com. And you will get automatic links to the book club and get to have 30 minutes of conversation followed by 30 minutes of Q&A with the author. And in this case, it will be with Julia Alvarez. So check it out for the full schedule. Okay. Julia Alvarez left the Dominican Republic for the United States in 1960 at the age of 10. She is the author of 6 novels, 3 books of nonfiction, 3 collections of poetry, and 11 books for children and young adults. She has taught and mentored writers in schools and communities across America, and until her retirement in 2016, was a writer in residence at Middlebury College. Her work has garnered wide recognition, including a Latina Leader Award in Literature from the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute, the Hispanic Heritage Award in Literature, the Woman of the Year by Latina Magazine, and inclusion in the New York Public Library's program The Hand of the Poet, Original Manuscripts by 100 Masters, from John Donne to Julia Alvarez. In the time of the butterflies, with over 1 million copies in print, was selected by the National Endowment for the Arts for its National Big Read Program. And in 2013, President Obama awarded Alvarez the National Medal of Arts in recognition of her extraordinary storytelling. Welcome, Julia. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss The Cemetery of Untold Stories, a novel which I have picked for my book club also because I think it is so great.
Thank you so much for having me, Cindy. And this is one of my first podcasts. I've done a couple of interviews, mostly written, so I'm really fresh and therefore not practiced.
Good.
At what I'm say.
I don't want media trained practice stuff. That's a waste of everyone's time, I feel like. We just want to know the real authors, right? People want to know what people are really like. They want to know about the pajamas and the, you know, I mean, that's the stuff of real life that people can relate to. In fact, that's part of why I feel like I related to your book so much and why it hit home so much for me and I think for untold readers, untold stories, because the way you write about a writer and the writing life and aging and all of the thoughts and fears that we all have and how that's all interwoven. I mean, it's so, the voice is so relatable and accessible, even though it's beautiful writing and very literary, which is tough to pull off. So bravo to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So tell listeners, what is The Cemetery of Untold Stories about?
My editor and publicist at Algonquin call it the elevator pitch. And I always ask, can we take the local instead of the express for this book? Because there's so many little pieces. But basically, it's about...
We will take the stairs. We can take the stairs.
Oh,
this will be the stairs, the slow escalator. Just like take your time. You could take the whole podcast describing the book.
Well, it's very much a book about, of course, as I enter my own old age and aging also in a craft, in something you practice passionately all your life, the questions and the preoccupations are, what is this landscape about? I often write to find out, not things I already know, but to understand, not in a kind of rational way, but to understand the landscape I'm traveling to through. It's kind of like a labyrinth, and the narrative is my little thread in that labyrinth. And so I yearn and just absolutely devour any books about aging creative people, aging period, aging women, aging Latinas, you know, what is this experience like? And as more and more of us boomers are entering this landscape, I think we're all eager and curious to find out. So I wanted to find out through story, which is the way I understand things, what it's like for an older writer as she comes to the end of her craft, the end of her energies, her animo, and what happens with all those stories she hasn't been able to tell. So in a nutshell, that's the entry into The Cemetery of Untold Stories.
And how did you come up with the rest of it and this whole creative idea? I mean, it's awesome. Where did that come from?
Oh my goodness, I haven't a clue. I must tell you that I've always admired books set in cemeteries, whether it's the Neil Gaiman, I think it's called The Graveyard Book, or George Saunders, Lincoln in the Bardo, or Our Town. I mean, it goes back, you know, and you think of Dante, you think of Gilgamesh, the first literary, written epic, and it's about traveling through the underworld. There's just an intrigue with it. And I was thinking, you know, what would a writer do with these unfinished tales? What would she, how would she lay them to rest? And of course, she would maybe create a place where they could go. And of course, being Dominican, part of my Dominican culture with Santeria and animism and spirits and so forth, is that there is this world of the invisible. And I've always, when I finish a book, have certain rituals I do. because the characters are still in my head and I want to get on to the next story, but they're still in there. So I've had rituals that I do, including within the time of the butterflies. When I was done with it, they would not go away. They would not go away. So when I was in the Dominican Republic, I went to the Mirabal house and I buried the final draft in their garden.
No. Really?
Yes. Now Minu and Jacqueline know about it. They're survivors because I thought I need to take them home. And so, you know, in some ways now looking back, now when I was up against this novel and didn't know where the hell I was going, it just seemed like, oh, of course, your own life has been showing you that this is the thing to do. So, of course, Alma, my main character, a.k.a. Scheherazade, her pen name, goes back to the homeland to put her stories into the ground they came from, because so many of her stories come from there. And just like that Mexican saying I've seen on protest signs for immigrant rights, they tried to bury us. They did not know we were seeds. It's almost as if Alma's stories, once she's buried them, say she tried to bury us. She did not know we were stories. So they won't stay put. And so the whole neighborhood and barrio and all their stories come into the cemetery. And so it goes. And that's the way stories work.
Wow. I think I'm particularly fascinated because I've joked often that with all the books in here, and I spend a lot of time here in my office, I'm sitting here in a room surrounded by books, I wonder, like, what happens to the characters when I leave the room? Or do they all kind of get to know each other? And sometimes I'm so deep into all these books that I'm like, oh my gosh, the woman in this book really needs to be friends with the woman in that book. Like, they would totally get along. And I even went so far as to introduce two authors. And I said, listen, your main characters really need to, like, have a conversation. And they were like, thanks, but no thanks.
Like, oh, how beautiful of you. I love that. I really, really love that.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm very interested in this whole thing. Like, where do all the characters come from and where do they go? Could they exist on some planet or I don't know. It's just never mind. But I like to think about it.
Also, what you were saying, you know, characters, sometimes they're more vivid and real because you see their interiority in the way that you often don't see even intimates and that kind of fullness. And sometimes, you know, I'll be walking, I think, oh, that woman looks just like Mrs. Dalloway. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that could be Ahab. Oh, you know, they're like, but these are fictive characters. And sometimes you go to a reading and someone who's loved an earlier book of yours comes up with a real little kid and says, I named her after Minerva. And it's just, I know it's part of our world. Like I was talking about spirit cultures and that these imaginative creations accompany us. Mm-hmm. They're critical. In fact, they help us map the world and understand mm-hmm. it. And that's pretty important, you know? So I totally understand.
I wrote a novel that just came out last week and the main character is named Pippa Jones. And in my Instagram direct messages, I got a message from Pippa Jones. And she's I am Pippa Jones. And that's my name. And she's like, I bought your book because of the name. And then I ended up really liking your book. And I was like, oh my gosh. So then I was like, wait, tell me more about you. I was like, maybe she really is this person, but she's, I don't know.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're yet another kind of mom to a book.
Yes, book
to mom. Actual children.
Yes, that would be good. Like a hashtag book mom on a shirt or something like that. Julia, can I just read a couple of things that you wrote, even just about aging and about writing that I was like starring everywhere because the way you use even analogies to talk about it. Let me just read this one thing. Critics like to write about the late style, usually a euphemism for a messy grasping for what has passed. The glow of celebrity now tinged with nostalgia might keep the fan fires going, but Alma didn't want anyone's condescension or pity. The time had come to stop beating herself up for not being able to finish anything. She was trying to hold on to the literary version of good looks, the plastic surgeries of astute agents and editors, nipping and tucking the flagging work. Every worker knows to put aside her tools at the end of the workday, even that paramount narcissist, Prospero. I love that. I just love that. You say also, one thing she could choose after spending decades giving characters' lives a shapely form, Alma wanted to close the story of her own writing life in a satisfying way. And then the last one, so easy to pontificate and so difficult to bring a character to life. The words made flesh. If her readers could only see her on any given writing day, humbled by the continual little failures of getting a sentence right or a character's name or tone of voice. Oh my gosh, I could just keep going. love all of that. There's the way you use your language. I mean, it's just really awesome. Are you worried about your own career, the end of your career? And, you know, tell me more about these thoughts and feelings.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Well, you know, worried, I'm not really sure that's the word, but it's in my zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. You know, how does this end? I had begun this book, and then I went through a health crisis in which I lost vision in one eye.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
But the resulting thing is that with the other one, I was seeing double. So all these questions of whether or not I was going to finish what I had started and what would be how I would end it all, it was right up against me. You know, how will this end? And in a way, when I was able to slowly, you know, with a magnifying glass, get back to work, I felt instead of like this dread, I felt this kind of joy, this rebirth that I had returned to writing out of the sheer joy and playfulness, the careerism, the getting published, the getting attention, all that stuff that had kind of bowed me. I was out of the game. Mm. And now I could write and enjoy myself again. And that has been one of the gifts of this. So yeah, these issues were very much alive in a personal way. And also, this was during COVID, where death was all around us, and how to navigate this landscape with these figures of people dying that became, I mean, unbelievable and hard to picture. You know, it just felt like we were living in this underworld. And so, yeah, the issues of, I mean, we're seeing it now with presidential candidates. Is it appropriate? Does a writer stop writing? I mean, you have the Alice Munros and Philip Roths who say, that's it. I'm done. And many of them come back and say, but on the other hand, one more thing, but still, you know, it's a sense that I'm never going to stop writing. It's part of how I breathe and put things together. But, you know, whether or not your stories are going to be told out there in the larger public, it's just a question, you know. And it's not that the book comes to any conclusion or message, but it does what I love fiction can do and what Chekhov said was the task of the writer. Not to solve the problem, but to state it correctly, to have the questions and wonder about them and not stick your head in the sand, but look at them from varying angles of when do you sit down and applaud the new generations coming? You know, their writing, their talent, their energy, their brilliance. I mean, I believe in evolution when I see some of these young writers writing incredible books. I couldn't have written at their age. So, yeah, it's questions that we ask ourselves, you know, when do I step back and, you know, let my face sag and my body do what gravity does to it with the years and not try to be, you know, a cosmetic surgery beauty. And that, how does that apply to the writing?
Can you tell me more about the things that had taken your joy away?
Well, I think all of us that, you know, are trying to be writers have, in the course of now, my gosh, almost 50 years in this world, have seen more and more the writers are taken into a public sphere. I mean, think about an Emily Dickinson. That's the extreme, okay? Because you also have the self-promoter, Walt Whitman. But usually a writer wrote the book. And the way I responded to a book I loved is I would stroke the cover, I would hold it, I would reread it, I would head for the library and find the next book or another book by that writer. And now you go online and there's all kinds of other accessories to the book. And you as a writer are asked to participate in that. And it can be overwhelming, especially some writers have the personality to do that and do that well and do that joyfully. And some are more, you know, they have Emily Dickinson genes and it's hard for them to be out there. And, you know, there's a kind of exposure after being so intensely private and writing for years, you're out there and it can become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And also, if it took you a long time to get there, I didn't publish Garcia Girls till I was 41. I see young, struggling writers, and I think, you know, someone helped me out. You know, someone sat in my front row and clapped and said, bravo. You know, someone did that. You know, and I want to, if I have the microphone, share it and feel part of a community. And that involves sometimes adding on. And soon you're just overwhelmed with just how much you can do and still have a life and students and other things that are important. So that's the thing that can get stale on the public sphere. On the private sphere, you've learned certain things. And as I said before, part of the excitement of writing is to try to find things out, to try to discover things. And when you feel like you already know them, you can't learn something you think you already know. And so you have to release, not, you don't already know everything, but you have to release that kind of mind frame so that you can rediscover and everything is fresh again. And that's something you have to regain with each book, I feel, you know, that kind of, okay, this is a different book. Moms know this, you know, this is a different child. What worked with the first one is not going to work this time. That's, and I have to relearn this role with this child or with this book.
That's an interesting analogy. Back to your whole book mom thing. This is great. We'll just keep this going. How, in the course of your career, how have you learned to deal with trends or the market or any of that versus what you feel like writing? Like, what do you do with all that? Or do you just ignore it?
Well, I think luckily for a writer with my personality, I live in Vermont where sometimes I'm the last person to know things, or I'll find out that word is a trigger word or this. And I think, oh, you know, nobody told me that. So I think part of it is I don't live in like a hub like New York or Boston, where there's readings and tons of bookstores out here in the countryside. So there's a larger book of nature and community and old rhythms, which I'm more involved in than a literary world. Mm-hmm. And so trends, of course, I'm aware of them. I mean, in a sense, you could say they benefited me because I was trying to get published in the 80s and I would get things rejected. And it was sort of like books about Latino characters or by us were kind of like sociology, not literature. And then came this huge multicultural boom. You know, you think of Maxine Hong Kingston and Amy Tan. And all of a sudden, the literary doors flew open and everybody became interested in this multicultural writing and the writing of Latin America, the Latin American boom. So in a way, it benefited me. But then, you know, there's always the downside that you become, you know, what was it that Adichie talked about, the danger of of a single story, you become like, this is the story of Dominicans. So you don't want that because you're not a brand and you're not a spokesperson. So it's got its double edge, these trends. And I think, you know, finally, I'm more interested in a culture of true inclusiveness and generosity, where you don't get down in your ethnic or racial or literary bunker, because we're all in this together. And if anything teaches us that, it's the world of story, you know, where anybody can become somebody else, totally unlike who they are, across time and gender and even species. So that's why I came to story. And I have to remind myself, that's why I'm still there, not to be, you know, a brand or, and I really never want to get involved when there's kind of a, I don't know, going after a writer for this, that, or the other, because I think we're all on a learning curve. And if we make a mistake publicly and we grow from it and we're chastened by it and we get bigger because of it, for heaven's sakes, you know, we got bigger things to do than, you know, us-ing and them-ing and all of that stuff.
I totally agree. That's very wise and very true. I'm not a fan of cancel culture.
Oh my God. Oh, finally. Yeah. I lost the word as I was talking to you. Yeah. Yes. Cancel culture. How scary is that, that we would do that to people? I mean, some people are truly egregious and refuse to recognize their issues and they need to be called out on it, but not buried.
Yes.
As much as we would want with certain people.
What advice would you give to aspiring authors?
Oh, so classic for my boomer generation. But I'm a meditator and I'm a yoga person. And I do believe in a practice. And writing is no different. The practice of writing, it's a habit that you embed in your life. If every day I said, well, you know, I don't feel like doing that yoga, I don't have the bandwidth to meditate, you still do it. It's not going to be perfect. The same with writing. It's a way of life. And sure, the publications, the attention, the you done good girl applause is great and gives you fuel for going forward on those difficult days. But it's really about that love. That's what I said. It was so important to regain that joy in writing. That, not that it's easy. It's, you're still pulling your hair, but there's something that feels enlarging. You lose yourself. The world becomes, as Filomena says, when she listens to these stories, her heart becomes larger. There's more room in it for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's its own reward.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Thank you. You did a great job on one of your first podcasts. That's it.
As I said, I got a little scared when I saw your color-coded bookshelf.
No, no, no.
I don't even have my fiction and my poetry properly. So I have to search all my bookshelves, and there's a lot of them to find certain things.
Yeah. I can't find anything, but it looks pretty. So there you go.
Oh, wait a minute, Sibby. What about when they do a new edition and they change the color of the cover? How do you deal with that?
I'm not touching that wall. I don't care what happens. I don't care if there's a paperback. I don't know. That's not moving anywhere, and everything else can be shoved in somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Along with keeping the same page numbers, no matter the edition, because as a teacher, you're always worried, oh, a new edition. If I say, turn to page 42, will everyone have the same thing on page 42? That should be a requirement. Keep the same color for Sibby.
Keep the same color. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much.
Hashtag same color cover for Sibby.
Oh, well, thank you for the new hashtag. Now we have Book Mom and this one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great
thank
day.
You. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Sibby Owens and at Sibby Readers.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.